The new exhibition is a long-brewing collaboration between the MFA, the Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth, and the Fine Arts Museum of San Francisco. Curators from the three institutions created it to transport visitors to the 18th century, a dynamic period for European art and culture well chronicled by the real-life Giacomo Casanova.
Casanova wrote one of the longest autobiographies ever.
Frederick Ilchman chairs the MFA's Art of Europe department.
And it's an amazing mine of social history, details about life in the 1740s, 50s, and 60s. He was an incredibly perceptive observer, and as we say, that he went everywhere, he met everyone, and he wrote it all down.
The 12-volume memoir is like a roadmap for the 250 artworks, furnishing, and costumes assembled in the show. Casanova is tour guide. Luscious installations and soundscapes evoke the places Casanova spent time: Venice, where he was born in 1725, Paris, London, St. Petersburg, along with the celebrities, thinkers, and artists he knew, Voltaire, Mozart, and Catherine the Great. Casanova exhaustively documented his trips, the food he ate, his intellectual pursuits, and work as a linguist, librettist, actor, spy, scam artist, and jailbreaker. He also described unbridled affairs and sordid exploits, including impregnating his own daughter. Biographer Ian Kelly says Casanova captured his life unabashedly as he neared the end of it.
It's like a, you know, your confession to your shrink, sort of everything you would say if you were saying everything.
But as the Me Too movement gained momentum last fall, the MFA team realized they had a problem. A show fueled by the passions of a mythic womanizer, better known for his trysts than his travel writing, felt insensitive, possibly offensive. So the museum strategized to make changes to promote dialogue about issues in the 18th century and ours. But there's risk that comes with altering an existing exhibition without pandering, censoring, or making a long-planned, expensive show something it's not. Here's Ilchman again.
You can't change an exhibition completely. The ingredients are still there. We've been working this for a long time, and our focus has always been on the masterpieces. It's not the purpose of an exhibition to relitigate past injustices. The point, rather, is to make people today more aware of the good and the bad in a different time and place.
One change is the show's name. It was Casanova, The Seduction of Europe. Now it's Casanova's Europe, Art, Pleasure, and Power in the 18th Century. Curators added works, including rarely seen pastels from the MFA's collection by Rosalba Carriera, one of the few female Venetian painters of the time. There are talks with feminist writers, film screenings, and performances. Also, new interpretation in the galleries. Ilchman reads a message on one wall from the curators.
History privileges men's voices and narratives. Often what we hear about 18th century European women comes from the perspectives of men of the time, including Casanova, whose memoirs provide an unrivaled chronicle of society, as well as describe behaviors towards women that today would be criminal. As with most memoirists, he shares his stories from his own, presumably biased, perspective.
One artwork curators wanted to interpret more fully for 21st century audiences hangs in a room with a group of masterful paintings depicting sensual scenes of gods and humans. The lighting is dim, and the canvases present a lot of bare skin. Curatorial fellow Courtney Harris points to a painting by artist Jean-Honoré Fragonard called The Useless Resistance.
The painting has a woman who is sort of grasping at the wig of a man. She's pulling his wig off, and we can see a bit of his natural hair underneath. And he is grasping her arm. She's twisting, and they're in a bed of pillows.
At first glance, it looks like a struggle, like he's overtaking her against her will. But the label and audio guide explain how during the 18th century's libertine period of free love, it was common for women to feign resistance. It was both an aphrodisiac and a way of maintaining a sense of honor.
And we can see that through her rosy cheeks, her smile, her apparent unconcern with the fact that her breasts are exposed, that this is actually leading up to the lovemaking.
As always, women face different stakes than men. This theme is teased out with a work in the next room. It's a large-scale painting of a prestigious Venetian convent's interior called the Parlatorio. The scene depicts a place where parents park their marriageable daughters to take them out of circulation, but also where women could carve out community and independence in a male-dominated society. Curator of textile and fashion arts Pamela Parmel says the nuns had power, and even they were having sex during this libertine age.
In a sense, it wasn't just Casanova, it was women too. They had, you know, equality within the movement on a certain level.
While women's narratives play a bigger role in the show than originally planned, there are countless untold stories and unseen perspectives. The team hopes lectures, courses, and performances will spark discussions about art, culture, and Casanova.
I have no access to this figure. I'm a Black woman. I don't know about this dude.
Obehi Janis plans to use storytelling, comedy, film, and live music in a performance this September to raise her own questions about European art's cachet and about who decides to do a show inspired by Casanova.
I don't know why he's important. So, like, I have to figure out why is he important, and then I have to do the work of fixing a white gaze or a white-centric European thinking and go back to, okay, what do I really think about this material? Is he as important as they say he is?
Biographer Ian Kelly certainly thinks so. When asked about the MFA's decision to change the exhibition, he starts by saying he's not looking to defend Casanova.
Nor, of course, is it the position of art to be being a moral guardian either. This is a discussion. And the wonderful thing about this is that it is bringing up so many ideas of how people lived then, how we live now, and the different representations of a sensual universe within these works and within the works of Casanova.
In the show's last gallery, there are portraits of powerful intellectual women Casanova knew, including Madame Pompadour and Catherine the Great, which makes one wonder how this exhibition would be seen through their eyes. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.